Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. We will continue to try and make sense of Elihu's extensive discourse. In the previous chapter, Elihu introduced a novel idea to resolve the problem of unexplainable suffering. He suggested that pain and illness, both physical and psychic, may be God's tools to communicate with the human being, to save him from perdition. The late Rachel Margaliot, in her important book, Iyov Kemot Shehu, notes that Elihu does not specify if Hashem's efforts to steer a person to the virtuous path are extended only to those people who are otherwise righteous. In her analysis of the classic commentaries, she notes that Rashi assumes that God allows the incorrigible to proceed on their wicked path as they head to everlasting death. For as our sages said, "Baderech she'adam rotze leilech molichim oto." And in contrast, for a person who strives to purify and elevate his soul, Hashem extends assistance, helping him go on the path that he chooses. Given that Elihu is aware that Iyov is tam ve'yashar, yire Elokim v'sar mera, he deduces that the pain that Iyov is enduring is intended to modulate his pride and self-righteousness. Ramban, however, suggests that Elihu is pointing out that God may afflict the body that carries a tainted soul that was reincarnated and given a chance to expiate for sins committed in a previous lifetime. Then the suffering is both punitive and purifying, and will allow that soul to be finally redeemed, so it can be elevated to eternal bliss with tzaddikim in Gan Eden. Thus, there is no point searching for the sin that could justify Iyov's calamity, because perhaps that sin was committed in a previous lifetime. Elihu takes Iyov's silence at the end of the previous chapter as permission to proceed with his second point, made in chapter 33, as he addresses his audience and asks them to evaluate his theories and compare them to the arguments made earlier by Iyov and his three friends. He opens politely, "Shimu chachamim milai, v'yodim ha'azinu li, ki ozen milin tivchan. וכך יתאם לאכול, משפט נבחרה לנו, נדעה בינינו מה טוב." Hear my words, you wise men, and hear me, you that have knowledge. For the ear assesses words as the palate tastes food. Let us choose for us that which is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good. Elihu begins with a summation of Iyov's complaints about the injustice of his suffering and the aggravation caused by his friends' recriminations. "Ki amar Iyov, tzadakti, v'kel hesir mishpati, al mishpati achazev enush chitzi bli pesha." Job said, "I'm innocent, but God denied me justice. Although I am right, I'm considered a liar. Although I am guiltless, his arrow inflicts an incurable wound." He then displays momentary sympathy for Iyov's frustration in verse 7. "Mi gevel ki Iyov, yishtelag kamayim." Is there anyone like Job who drinks scorn like water? But then Elihu inserts a critique of Iyov who in his agony has erred and drawn false conclusions. Ki amar lo yiskan gever birtzoto im Elokim. For he says there is no profit in trying to please God. Iyov had decided that despite God's promises, there is no reward for those who obey the commandments. In his speeches, Iyov seemed to agree with the wicked, who, according to the prophet Malachi in chapter 3, said, Shav avod Elokim, uma betza ki shamarnu mishmarto, v'chi alachnu kedornit mipnei Hashem. It's futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord? Then, in an impassioned tone, Elihu rebukes Iyov for deducing that the absence of immediate consequences for human willful acts indicates that either God has breached the promises made explicit in the Torah, Im bechukai telechu, or v'haya im shamua tishme'u, or that God's promises apply only to the whole nation, but that Hashem does not watch, judge, or reward the individual. In verses 10 and 11, Elihu asserts, Lachen anshei levav shimuli, Chalila lakel miresha, v'shakai mi'avel. Ki po'al adam yeshalem lo, u'keorach ish yamtzien lo. So listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do evil, and from the Almighty to do wrong. He repays each man what he has done, and each one will find what his conduct deserves. Elihu rejects out of hand the notion that Hashem has abandoned his watch over every man. Nor can a God be accused of withholding recompense. Ramban explains that God created the world by his free will, and it is absurd to imagine that the Creator would abandon or harm his creations, particularly the human being whom he formed with his own hands, endowing Adam with divine spirit, charging him to cultivate and preserve the earth. And therefore Elihu says, who set the whole world in place? If God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease, and humanity would return again to dust. If God wanted to eradicate life on earth, he could do so in an instant, wiping out the innocent and the guilty alike. And if Hashem has not destroyed humankind, it's only because he judges each one individually, showing no deference to the rich or the poor, having lovingly made them all, as stated in verse 19. Asher lo nasa pnei sarim, velo nikar shoah lifnei dal, ki maase yadav kulam. For he does not favor princes, or regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. On the contrary, Elihu stresses that Hashgacha Pratit is evident throughout the history of humanity. Ki einav al darchei ish v'chol tzeadav yireh. Ein choshech ve'ein salmavet lihisater sham po'alei aven. Ki lo al ish yasim od lahaloch el el b'mishpat. His eyes are on the ways of every man. He sees all his steps. There is no darkness, no shadow of death, where evildoers can hide. God has no need to examine a person further than he would before him for judgment. Only God's love can account for the world's survival, despite all the destructive forces and the rampant violence committed by so many people. Just as evil tyrants threaten human civilization and bring it to the brink of destruction, Hashem intervenes in history, bringing down empires and rebalancing the powers on earth for the sake of the oppressed and in response to the cries of the innocent. Yaro kabirim loch reker ve'yamod acherim tachtam lachen yakir ma'abadehem ve'hafach laila vayedaku tachat reshaim svakam bimkom ro'im asher al ken saru me'achorav ve'chol drachav lo hiskilu להביא אליו צעקת דל וצעקת עניים ישמע. Without inquiry, he shatters the mighty and sets up others in their place. Because he notices their deeds, he overthrows them overnight and they are crushed. He punishes them for their wickedness where all can see, because they turned from following him and had no regard for any of his ways. Thus the cry of the poor comes before him, and he hears the cry of the oppressed. Rambam explains that Hashem does not intervene immediately. For if he struck every time we sinned and gave instantaneous reward for every mitzvah we performed, he would be removing the freedom of choice with which man was empowered. If we witnessed divine judgment and it would come at the heels of every act, we would be nothing more than well-trained heels performing for the prize at the end of every trick. Consequently, Hashem hides and postpones his judgment, allowing us to function as moral agents, able to freely choose between good and evil. Even when Hashem must intervene in history, lest the world implode, he disguises his presence and hides his hand. V'hu yashkit u'mi yarshia v'yaster panim u'mi yeshurenu v'al goy v'al adam yachad. As he hides his face, who can see him? He acts for the sake of nations, or for a single man alike. God does intervene, at times on behalf of worthy individuals, and at others on behalf of righteous nations, saving them from disasters. But none can physically see the hand of God, though he is close in our good times and in our bad. In the interim, Elihu advises that Eov bear the yoke of his suffering, confident that God hears his cries, and humbly plead to his maker, Biladai echeze ata horeni im avel pa'alti lo sif. Teach me what I cannot see, and if I have done wrong, I will not do so again. But getting no response from Eov, neither assent nor protest, Elihu concedes, should God reward you on your terms when you refuse to repent? You must decide, not I. So tell me what you know. When Eov continues to remain silent, Elihu turns to the friends and paraphrases their admonishments for stubbornly clinging to his ignorance and daring to defy God by continuously complaining about the injustice he must endure. Eov lo bedat yidaber, udvarav lo behaskil. Avi yibachen Eov ad netzach al tshuvot beanshei aven, ki yosif al chatoto pesha, בינינו יספוק וירב אמריו לקל. Eov speaks without knowledge. His words lack insight. Father, may Eov be tested to the utmost for answering like a wicked man. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezul Rochel Bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.